For those that know me, know I like to watch all kinds of movies. Bible-themed movies are usually hit or miss. Many times, they don't look remotely like what the Bible really says. And there's some that those are spot on. There's this one show I've been watching, a crowd-funded series called The Chosen by Dallas Jenkins. Crowdfunding is where people donate money to help create the show, and depending on how much money they donate, they get to be either in the credits or in the show even. As in all Bible-themed shows, one must be wary about some of the creators of those shows taking lots of liberties of trying to make it more interesting for the biblically illiterate. Sometimes they add something that's watered down or downright incorrect in order to push some sort of agenda. This particular series, however, has been probably the closest Bible movie that I've seen next to the old TNT movies, starting with the movie Abraham that was made in 1994, ending with Thomas in 2001. That being said, if you had millions of dollars to make one of these films, how would you show the world about each particular character? Apparently, it takes millions of dollars to make a movie these days. So let's talk about that a little bit. How about David, King David? How about Moses? And you're probably thinking about Charlton Heston right now. I know I do when I think of Moses. How about Adam or Joseph? All very important people in the Bible. Many of these people, you might say to yourself, wouldn't it be great to meet them one day? Have you ever thought about wanting to meet John the Baptist? How would you depict John the Baptist? John the Baptist was praised by Jesus Christ himself, as it says in Matthew 11:11, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The title of this message is Your Job Now. Your Job Now. I have been quite excited about how the creator of The Chosen has picked his characters to play the apostles and all the supporting characters. That's a task that I would find incredibly difficult. Each person, each actor, brings something to each character that should be depicted by scriptures. And this is not really a commercial for The Chosen. It's just one of the things that I really enjoy as far as using it for tools to study the scriptures. So, let's talk a little bit about John the Baptist. He seemed to know what his job was from the moment he was born. That's pretty incredible. As with the case of Jesus, his birth story from preconception to Zechariah's voice coming back was meticulously recorded in the scriptures. His interest in the world was marked by an angelic proclamation and divine intervention. The Bible mentions that John probably lived and at least preached in the desert for quite a while. We see in Matthew 3:1, the word for wilderness is Strong's 2048, Aramea, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, but Google has this really neat tool where you can push the button and it'll sound, and that's what it came out, Aramea, Strong's 2048. The word wilderness means an uncultivated, unpopulated place, a desolate, deserted area, barren. John was that voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the coming Messiah, as we have seen in Isaiah 40, verse 3. John is mentioned to be clothed in camel's hair and living off locusts and wild honey. I've never had that before. I am a little curious, but not that curious. The central theme of his ministry was to repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. John the Baptist was no crowd pleaser. He willingly confronted the hypocrisy of the religious establishment. He did not hesitate to expose immorality of Herod and chose to die a martyr's death rather than compromise his convictions. John was definitely someone that many people looked up to as a great leader. That is, those that were either scared of him or hated him for showing a mirror of their sins. People really thought highly of John the Baptist. With all that, I find it so remarkable that John fully accepted his subordinate role as to Jesus Christ. He denied several times that he was the Christ and repeatedly emphasized that he was simply a witness to the light. John had absolutely no issue with his own followers or disciples leaving him to follow Jesus Christ. While watching the show, there was one scene that made me pause. It's where Jesus is talking with his cousin by a small lake. They were discussing the things that had happened, and they were talking about the coming things in the future. Then John leaned into Jesus and said, "But you know, my heart is yours. My life is yours." John understood that all he was and was to become was due to his role in paving the way for Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and turn to our Bibles to John 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 27. No, let's back up to verse 26. This is where John the Baptist's disciples, yes, I said that right, are concerned about this other teacher that is seemingly gaining more followers than he is. So verse 26. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John answered and said, in verse 27, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." Verse 29, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies, no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide on him." John had quite the following, and to some people, that might mean a lot to them, but not to John. He did everything for God and the work. He was given the task to prepare a way for Jesus Christ, and as Scripture shows us, he completed that task. So you might be thinking, "Mr. Gonzalez, how does this apply to me? I'm not a preacher. I'm not like John the Baptist." So turn with me to Ephesians 4, and we'll discuss how this relates. Ephesians 4, and we'll start in verse 11. And we'll read down to verse 16. Now, the headline in my Bible says, "Spiritual Gifts." Ephesians 4, verse 11. "And he," capital H, "himself," capital H, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. For the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You, all of you, have been given a task, a serious role in this worldly wilderness, devoid of God's word, to do the work of God. He has given you all varied gifts and talents in which to further his work. Some will be excellent, and some will not be so excellent in using those gifts. Still, we must strive to do our best with those gifts and know that it's not us that should get the glory, but God should get the glory. We're here to further his plan, his work. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 12, and we are going to start in the latter part of verse 1. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I urge you all to think about John the Baptist's example of doing God's work by spreading the gospel and understanding that we're not speaking of our own self, but that of God our Father in heaven. He gave everything, he being John, he gave everything in the service to God's plan, knowing that he was playing a very important role in all of it. Like I said earlier, John has completed his work, his task, his job that was given to him. We all have our part to play in that work as well. It may seem like a daunting task, but I remind you, don't be discouraged, because God has given us his Holy Spirit to help and guide us do that work. Keep reading your Bibles, fast and pray, and be a light among men. May you all be able to say at the end of your days, as it does in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all that loved his appearing." No matter what you used to think your job was on this planet, this is your job now. Go and do it.